Okay, here we are today, July 14th, in the Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 13. I'm going to share my screen because I have created my own version of chapter 13. I went to the original Portuguese, and then because particularly you look at verse 4, I don't know if you have your sealed version in front of you, but verse 4, it talks about the High Council of Egypt as his son. Well, it's talking about the queen. It's not a his. And Portuguese to English sometimes does that. It gets the wrong pronoun.
Russell, can you zoom that more? Can you zoom that document bigger?
What I've got is it's filling my portrait screen.
Oh, okay. All right.
But... maybe it would be better if I did not use the portrait screen. Let me try a different screen and see if that works better. Yeah, I was worried about on the portrait screen because of the fact that, okay, let's try this. See if it works better. You like that better?
Yeah. I can actually read it.
Okay. Yeah. So I was commenting about verse 4 where it talks about the Council of Egypt as her son. It's his son in our book. And so anyway, so I didn't show you all the words I deleted. I only showed you the words I added. So hopefully that's not going to be a problem. And I realized toward the end of it, this chapter, there's one specific word that really bothers me. And we'll get to that later, if I remember to mention it. So I'll read a couple verses. And this chapter may go fairly quickly because it's just historical stuff. I don't know if there's a lot of doctrine here. So I guess it'll depend on what you comment and so forth. Steve?
Yeah, before we start, I'd like to share something that kind of blew me away sometime back when I was doing some digging. And Ron Wyatt, for those that you know of his adventures and explorations with his family into Egypt and some of the hidden things, his wife, through their studies and digging in the ruins in Egypt and a lot of these old temples, they found a lot of information about this with Moses and his mother and really to what level they were. And pictures of all the things where they carved their faces off of all of the temple walls, and except in a couple of tombs that weren't, and there were some were exposed. Ron's wife spent some length of time writing a book about this, and I've got it. I ran in there to see if I could find it. The pile's a little daunting, but I'll send that later to you if you want to send it out. It's eye-opening.
You bet. That'd be wonderful. Okay, I'll read the first couple verses here, and then we can rotate around. So the story of Moses before he left Egypt. It so happened that I, Moses, was born in Egypt, in the same city that my ancestors lived in from the time the Hebrews arrived in the land of Goshen, where there was the best pastures of the land of Egypt at the invitation of Pharaoh, as it is written in the annals of the history of Israel, that Joseph, the high ruler of Egypt, made his fathers and his brothers to dwell in the land of Ramesses in the district of Goshen, just as Pharaoh had commanded him. I don't know if anybody has that inspired version, 4711, that would like to read that.
I have it.
Go ahead, Aaron.
It says, and Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded.
Oh, okay, thank you. I, Moses, was the son of Amram, the grandson of Kohath, and the great-grandson of Levi. My mother, Jochebed, was the sister of Kohath. I was 3 years younger than my brother Aaron and 6 years younger than my sister Miriam. Any comments at that point?
I I find it really interesting how the sealed book is worded, and I like how you're seeking to perfect that. Because there has been many times where there's some parts it's a little hard for me to understand, but it's like I understand it. Does that make sense? Have you ever felt that way while reading it? You like your heart knows what it's saying.
Actually, I've found that I read the sentence and then go, well, what did that mean? And then I pray, and then I read the sentence again and go, what does that mean? And then, anyway, yeah, but it causes me actually to seek revelation because it just doesn't read smooth. Anyway, I find myself asking a whole lot because the translation is not perfect. So maybe that's a good thing. It's just, I remember I read the book three separate times before I got a witness. So, I mean, it took a bit of pondering, and I'll pass.
All right, great. Good comments. I'm just realizing I can change my window so I can see everybody, even though my screen sharing is going on.
I have a little experience with Hebrew, just a little. And so I kind of worked from there. But the first time I read the sealed book, I knew it was true. I knew it was true. I loved it. Still love it. Just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, great. Aaron, would you like to read the next verse?
Sure. We're on verse 3, right?
Yes.
Or no, we're yeah, okay. Okay, and I'll read it from your screen. It happened, therefore, because of my birth, that Satan stirred up Pharaoh's heart to put an end to all the newborn boys among the children of the Hebrews. At this time, I was hidden by my mother Jochebed for a period of 3 months, and then I was placed in a papyrus ark among the reeds on the bank of the Nile, where I was found by the daughter of Pharaoh, who became my foster mother. I gotta say that I don't know if you've heard, any of you have heard of the Book of the Remembrance of the first book and second book of Achi, but in first book of Achi, in chapter 5, I think it might even be chapter 4. It gives the story of Moses. The brother of Jared was given the vision of the events that happened with not only Jacob and the sons of, the sons of Israel, but also the story of Moses, because he was being given visions of these high priests. And Moses was one of them. I just thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to add that because I just read it a couple days ago, and it's really good. Book of Remembrance, Aki is really good, or Achi.
Okay, send me a link and I'll send that out to the group.
Okay.
All right, Michael, you want to read the next verse? Verse 4.
Yes, I'll just read it off your screen here. Because of my sister Miriam, who stood in the way of the daughter of Pharaoh on this occasion, I was nursed and instructed in the knowledge of the Hebrew God by my blood mother, Jochebed, who became employed as wet nurse of the daughters of Pharaoh, who gave me the name of Moses, and so soon presented me to the High Council of Egypt as her son, a gift from Hapi, who is considered to be the god of the waters of the Nile among the Egyptians.
I think
Is
it's
this,
interesting. Go ahead, Michael.
I was just going to say, is this the only place where we learn that his blood mother was his wet nurse? Or is that in, I can't remember if that story's in
That's in the
Genesis 1.
Bible.
It's in the Bible.
Okay.
It's also in First Achi. in the Book of Remembrance.
Very
which
cool.
I just texted it to you, Russell.
Oh, okay.
The PDF, and then maybe you can share on our on all of our group meeting chat.
Yeah, I can't seem to find my controls at the moment. Oh, there they are. Okay.
I sent it on your WhatsApp.
Oh, in WhatsApp. Okay.
If that's all right.
Yeah, email's better, but that's fine. I'll get there.
Okay.
I think it's interesting that his name of Moses was prophesied, and yet Israel prophesied that his name would be Moses? Who prophesied that?
Joseph of Egypt.
Yeah, Joseph. Okay.
And it means to be drawn out of the water.
Yeah, that's what it means. And yet we've got Pharaoh's daughter is the one that actually names him. And so, you know, it's not like she's inspired. Well, she is inspired, apparently. But it's the prophecy was known about this. And yet, beforehand, I don't know if she realized she's fulfilling prophecy at that time.
Well, so if in verse 3, it says that Levi was his great-grandfather. So Joseph would have been his great-uncle.
Right.
Is that right? So 3 generations back. So the prophecy was fulfilled pretty quickly after Joseph of Egypt.
Yeah, I thought Moses was a grandson of Levi. I guess I've had that wrong. Great-grandson, yeah, okay. Yeah.
May I read a tiny verse from First Achi in chapter 4? It's in verse 52. It says, "And it came to pass that Moses went unto the banks of the river where the king came to say his prayers before the people. And they both knew that the challenge would continue until one yielded, for it was according to his custom. And Moses, son of the river," it references here his name. It gets more into the story, but I'm just trying to reflect on his name.
Yeah. Okay, so we just read verse 4, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Dolores, would you like to read 5 and 6?
Sure. "Since then, many legends have arisen among the Egyptians as to what would happen to the future of this boy taken from the waters by the will of the gods. And being created as a member of the house of Pharaoh, I was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and became acquainted with their beliefs and many myths and symbolisms of their temples, rituals of magic, and offerings to their gods."
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's interesting. Rituals of magic, we see that come into play later on when Moses comes back to the court. There's probably a lot more going on there than we understand. All right, Steve, you want to read verse 7?
Glad to. "But behold, none of this seemed to be to me correct, since there is no priestly structure among them, centered on one God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, as the Hebrews teach. But each God has a temple and a group of men and women dedicated to their own worship."
So where did he get the idea about the Hebrew God?
He had been taught by his people, right? His mother.
Yeah, his mother. So that wet nurse lasted for long enough to give him an understanding. Maybe, it used to be that kids would be nursed until they're 3 years old. My dad tells a story about them doing a dance or something, and this kid goes up to his mother and pulls on, and she opened up and let him in to that, and he was, probably 3 years old or so. But yeah, that was good to be able to have enough time with him to really inculcate into him those important concepts. Okay, Dewey, you want to read verse 8?
Yeah, I was going to say it sounds like they were a temple building people then, since each group of I guess their temples were like churches, maybe. It kind of sounds like.
Yeah.
Number 8, and it came to pass in those days that my heart was greatly troubled because of the death of Pharaoh, and because his son was younger than I, Moses, who was an adopted son of the daughter of Pharaoh, who had died, and with that it was considered among the upper classes and the rulers of Egypt, if I should be their chief ruler over Egypt.
Go ahead, read the next verse.
For this reason, the immediate priest of the throne arranged the marriage of my adoptive mother with her half brother, who was only a young man, but by heredity succession, the right he should assume the position of the father like the Pharaoh, as was the custom among the sons and daughters of Pharaoh.
So arrange marriages to get the right person in the right spot to be the Pharaoh.
So the other priests, they didn't want Moses to be chief ruler over Egypt. That's why they did this quick arranged marriage.
Sounds more like they were trying to line it up so it'd fit their traditions. Right?
Okay.
I don't know. I just what it occurred to me as.
Yeah.
Seems to me you're both right.
Got a peacemaker in the group.
Yeah. All right, Bob, you want to reverse 10?
Therefore, after the union of my mother with her brother, who became the Pharaoh in his father's place, behold, he began to fear that I, Moses, the eldest son of the queen of Egypt, the same one who had nurtured from her youth a great expectation in what I would become, could in the future eventually take the place of this bastard son, obtained with one of his concubines the throne of Egypt. And for this reason, calling the queen before the court of Egypt and the high priest immediate, he named his son, who was only a child, as successor to the throne.
I think that's the big step that they tried to keep Moses out. Okay, I'll read 11 and 12. The Pharaoh did this with the intention of preventing his sister wife from placing her adopted son on the throne of Egypt in future times after an eventual death of the Pharaoh. But as soon as the queen witnessed such an affront, she announced to the high priest the will of the gods concerning me, with the purpose of putting me on the throne of Pharaoh instead of the bastard son of his brother in case he should die.
Of her brother.
Her brother.
Her brother was the Pharaoh.
Yes, her half brother.
Okay.
Yeah, in
Because that was.
Portuguese, his and her is sus, so it could be translated both his or her.
Oh, where are you?
Noticed that, it seems to me.
The last line of verse 12. Instead of the bastard son of her brother,
Her brother. Oh, okay.
not his brother.
Yeah, I should fix that one too.
That's one you could put in red.
Yes. I'll just do it to that. But I need to change it to her. I guess this is whoops. There.
I have a question. Was there a difference in skin color between the Egyptians and the Hebrews? Like, did Moses stand out so that he was, you know, people saw him and they're like, oh, he's different. He's definitely not one of us.
This is interesting. In the first book of Aki, it says he was brown. He had dark skin. Moses did, to my understanding. But I don't know how you all feel about that.
Yeah, I wonder if the Egyptians also had brown skin. Did they not descend from the daughter of Ham, Egyptus?
Yeah, I think you did. And what color was the Egyptus?
It's a good question.
But no matter what color, you'd get a tan there. I mean, I'm just saying, you'd be running a tan. I mean, they work outside all the time.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah.
Not going to be lily white.
That's for sure.
That sun, that heat is definitely going to be rough on your body. Definitely rough, especially if you're like herdsmen and workers. And yeah, wow.
All right. I'll read 13, then we'll let Dolores read 14. Yet Pharaoh felt increasingly threatened with my existence in the court of Egypt, that so soon it was rumored that he intended to kill me.
Nevertheless, the court of Egypt, out of fear of the gods, accepted the idea that I, Moses, would assume the kingdom of Egypt instead of the bastard son of Pharaoh, should he die. For they truly believed in their legends and traditions that the birth of the baby on the banks of the Nile satisfied the interest of all the gods venerated by them. For how much the Hebrews were finishing building the warehouses of the city of Pithom and Ramses in the land of Goshen. And if it were not fulfilled, such an errand upon which it had been rescued from the hand of Happy, that the Confederate gods would throw plagues on the bed of the Nile, and they would end with their crops. And thus they would be of no use for any storehouses or reservoirs built to store food in all the land, all that region of Egypt, bringing with them dishonor and reproach in the sight of all the nations of the land of Pharaoh. So it sounds like finishing building the warehouses and there might not be any crops if Moses was venerated.
Yeah, they didn't want to dishonor the gods and get the gods mad at them. So that was their goal, is to keep the gods satisfied. Aaron, you want to read 15?
Yes. In turn, I, Moses, fearing to be put to death by Pharaoh. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was going to read your screen. Moses himself, fearing that he would be killed by Pharaoh's command and for my knowledge of the one Hebrew God and for my faith in him, renounced the honor of being called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh, choosing since then to be ill-treated with the people of God in the city of slaves, than to have temporary enjoyment of sin and idolatry, which permeated the culture and traditions of the Egyptian people.
This particular verse, that word enjoyment in our scripture has usufruct. Then to have temporary usufruct of sin and idolatry. Does anybody know what usufruct means?
That's taking advantage or using somebody else's, right?
The right to use and profits The right for the use and profits of something belonging to another.
But that's what I mean is nobody uses it enough in their language to know what they mean when they read that. You have to look it up. And even then, after you look it up, you're not sure what it means. Some of these translation programs put enjoyment in there, the temporary enjoyment of sin and idolatry, which permeated the culture and traditions of the Egyptian people. I think that makes more sense to me.
I have a definition here, and usus is use from the Latin, and fructus is fruit in Latin. So usus and fructus, it means use fruit. And the definition I have here, it says the temporary use and enjoyment of lands or tenements, or the right of receiving the fruits and profits of the lands or other thing, without having the right to alienate or change the property.
So is that better than the word enjoyment?
I think so. In my view, I really liked the word because I never heard it before. The first time.
But is that enough of a reason?
It's interesting. You find that word in both Spanish, the Spanish and Portuguese version of the record.
Yes.
In Spanish and Portuguese, usufruto, it does mean enjoyment. But I can see how, as it was being transliterated into English, usufruct got put in its place because it sounds similar, even though they have slightly different meanings, like the one that Aaron just read. But I tend to agree that based on the Spanish, the Portuguese, just on that word itself being translated as enjoyment, that seems to fit better in my mind. But anyway.
All right.
I'm an original translation guy.
Well, but the original translation is Portuguese. That's the original. Our English, I don't think that the person doing the translation didn't know English. And so he would pick a word and pick in that word that he sees in he sees usufruct, it makes sense to him to pick that. But I think if he had English as the original language, I don't think he would have picked that. I'm sure he saw that word in the Urim, in the seer stone, in the stones, the interpreters. But I think if he was an English person, he wouldn't have picked that particular word. That's my guess. I guess I'm saying that it can be spared and not use that word. As long as we stick with the Portuguese, that's where we've got a foundation. Okay, Aaron, you want to read 16?
Yes. The queen of Egypt, however, seeing that my decision was unchanging, appointed me as a slave to the flocks of Pharaoh and the pastures east of Goshen, that I should not suffer with the burdens laid upon the Hebrews who participated in construction in the cities of Ramesses and Pithom.
I think that's an interesting, I don't think we see that in the Bible. We definitely don't see in the movie Ten Commandments that the queen is the one who put him out there in the fields. That's an interesting concept.
And she kept him away from the hard labor east of Goshen, fertile. Yeah.
All right, Dewey, you want to read 17?
It came to pass about at dusk that I, Moses, went to my people among the buildings that were being erected at the command of Pharaoh. And I saw how the Israelis, as part of the city, were forced to do heavy work, being dishonored by Egyptian masters. I also saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite, known to my brother Aaron, who was present at the meeting of the elders the night before. Then looking around and seeing that there was no one there, I approached to argue with the Egyptian about the ill treatment of Pharaoh's masters of works to the Hebrew people. But behold, he attacked me, causing me to kill him with no such intention in my heart, and out of fear, I hid his body in the sand.
I imagine that Moses was a well-trained warrior, and that being attacked, he only just instinctively responded. You think that's a possibility?
It makes sense to me.
All right, Michael, you want to read 19?
Did you say Michael?
Yes.
Oh, yes, verse 19. The next day, however, I saw two Israelites fighting, and in order to reason with them, I asked the aggressor of the reasons that had caused him to mistreat his brother. To which the man replied, "He terrified me the mind," while he expounded what I did with the Egyptian at the end of the afternoon of the previous day. Let's read yours, because he explained what I had done to the Egyptian the evening the previous day. So he had witnessed what had happened the night before?
Or at least he knew about it. It was probably well talked or well spread among the Hebrews that what he'd done. Because of course they knew who he was. And to think he's out there working amongst them was enough to cause talk to begin with, I would think.
Yeah.
I like
how like the O.J. Simpson trial. I mean, it would be hot news. at least I think so. I mean, among the traitors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I like how he said he terrified me the mind. I like how he uses that.
Okay. So, Steve, you want to read 20?
Yes, be glad to. When I saw that everyone already knew, I assumed that Pharaoh also knew about the murder and that he would soon demand my death. Evidently that day, when gathered together with the congregation of the alley, the elders of Israel announced that Pharaoh issued a decree to deliver Moses to the Egyptian authorities in order to be executed.
I wasn't sure what the alley is. Any comment on that? The one translation talked about in the alley. There, he was reading the original, talked about of the alley. But maybe it's just a gathering place.
Yeah, maybe an open air gathering place.
Probably.
If I may say something, in Iran, the alley was sort of a cul-de-sac, a place where a street ended. It evidently led to somebody's property, but it was just a cul-de-sac.
Did they call it an alley?
They call it an alley, actually.
Okay. Oh, good. Thank you very much.
It's a different culture, but it was a culture that was alive at that time also.
Yeah. All right, Bob, you want to read 21?
And it came to pass in the course of that night that I made as much as I could, and I departed from Egypt, leaving all behind, and went and dwelt in a foreign land, and came to lodge with the family of Jethro, a priest and shepherd in the land of Midian.
Yeah, that particular verse changed more significantly than most others. It happened then during that night that I packed what I could and I left Egypt, leaving everything and everyone behind, and went to live in a foreign land, becoming a guest among the family of Jethro, a priest and shepherd in the land of Midian. Again, I'm not putting my own words in here. I'm just taking the Portuguese and what it gives me, a few different translations. Either it's Google Translate or DeepL or Reverso, and then trying to come up with one that seems like it makes sense to me. Not that I'm inspired or good at this or anything. Of course, I'm making mistakes. Thank you, Bob. I'll read 22. Over the years, while I was in Midian, I heard reports that the Pharaoh who wanted my death, who was the husband and brother of the queen of Egypt, had passed away, and that the queen herself had assumed the throne of Pharaoh, since her son nephew was still too young to take such responsibility. Years later, news came that he took the scepter of ruler, finally coming to sit on the throne of his father. There is one queen in Egypt that was particularly noted, Hatshepsut or something like that.
Hatshepsut.
Yeah. I don't know if she fits in the right time frame or not. Michael, you were making a comment, but you're still muted.
I was thinking Nefertiti, but
Oh,
yeah, I've
Nefertiti.
heard of Hatshepsut as well, so could be either or.
Yeah.
Am I saying the name wrong?
No, I think you said it right.
Well, there is a queen in the history of Egypt that changed the religion to one God, and the
Yeah, that's what I
people
was thinking.
want. Yeah, and
Wow.
if it was Hesed, that I can't remember or not.
Yeah, and she's still got a temple to her that exists there, and near the Valley of the Kings.
So this queen was not his own adopted mother. She kind of stepped aside after he left.
No, she took after the, was it the bastard son that took over? Oh no, she took over because he wasn't old enough. And then Moses left, and after she died, then the bastard son took over.
Okay.
I've got that right. Okay, who just read? Did I just read?
Yes.
So I think it's Dolores's chance. You want to read the next verse, Dolores?
Is it 23?
I think so.
And what was heard among the Kenyan merchants, a people who inhabited the land of Midian, but were not Midianites of lineage, was the most talked about rumor among the Hebrews who lived in Egypt, that the new pharaoh gave orders to his craftsmen so that the name of Moses and of Joseph and of other Hebrews that ruled with their ancestors from the records of all the land of Egypt would be extinguished.
Yeah, and that's
About
what Dude was telling us earlier.
they rewrote the history.
Yes.
Yeah, it's to me, I've actually come across this before. There were these pharaohs that were trying to destroy and wipe away something. So,
Yeah.
the cartouche, the name of the person is called cartouche, and they would erase, dig that out, and
Yep.
then in plaster it over and insert another name.
Also, there was the image of a queen with a child sitting in her lap that they thoroughly went through and carved off. I think that book by Ron White's wife, it gets into a lot of details that are most interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, we rewrite history these days. We don't have to worry about carving, taking things out of the carvings.
If you look at the Joseph Smith papers, you see a lot of the original documents, that they've scanned in high resolution, and you can see where things have been crossed out and written in the side and written above. I mean, there's evidence of our own history being rewritten.
Exactly. Okay, Aaron, you want to read that last verse there?
Yeah. Yea, of all the records of Egypt, and any record identifying a descendant of a slave as being the son of the queen of Egypt, and everything concerning a baby that has been rescued from the waters of the Nile, so that future generations will not recall that in ancient times Egypt's upper echelon tried to put in the place of the great Pharaoh, son of Ra, the descendant of a Hebrew slave, and never to make this a native Egyptian legend in association with the god Hapi. So there we go. It's right there.
Yep.
These Egyptians were like, no, no, no. We want our Egyptian lineage preserved.
Exactly. So that's all of chapter 13. We could stop now. It'd be a little bit early, but or we could try to go into chapter 14. Whatever you want to do. Any other comments on that chapter?
Yeah, one last kind of passing shot at it. He talks about magic, other gods, demigods, and I think it's important to have a perspective. Where does that come from? And how has that been passed down? How do you get to a point where you accept that many? And there is some pretty good evidence out there that some of the fallen angels and this order of mayhem stuff is connected. And that there actually were some entities that, you know, putting rewards in right under the level of that. That's, you know, they've been at this for a long time. So they were hard pressed to leave that because they had evidences of it from their ancestry, evidently. And they weren't willing to let a Hebrew slave come in there and get in the way of that for fear. They don't want that burned down. And they had real fear of that.
Yeah.
Or if I may say something, Nimrod had those magicians that started a lot of that. That was in contrast to the priesthood. So it's hard to say who continued those magic traditions of the sons of Noah. I would think it'd be the wives, unfortunately.
Yeah, Nimrod, he created a lot of interesting stuff there. He got passed down.
Yeah, a lot of that, I think, probably stems from the reign of the people with the earlier clay tablets and cuneiform stuff, the Anunnaki. But that's a deep mud puddle to get into this morning.
I was just thinking, all throughout what I've read in First Upkey, it talks about these tablets. Talks about, if I remember right, talks about Moses having access to the, I think he says, heavenly tablets. That's what it says in there. And in the previous chapters, when it's talking about these other high priests in the pre-flood era, they also kept tablets. And it was very, very interesting. Me being familiar somewhat with language, it is really interesting to just review in the mind the pure tongue in the pre-flood era. And it makes me think of where we get our petroglyphs, pictureglyphs, hieroglyphics, or symbols, picture symbols. And it's really interesting. I just had to add that because obviously these ancient Mesopotamians, they were getting their sources from something. Either that or one of their documents was truly an inspired document, but they venerated these other beings as being the supreme being. Or as persons, or person like Nimrod being venerated as a god to promote some cult behind the scenes in the underground. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to stop our recording.